Those that are getting baptized, if you could come on up. I know, Maddie, your heart is pounding. We're going to let Maddie get done first, though, because she is being bold, and I've encouraged her, and she's going to do her best. So this is a good time for us to welcome. Yeah, just stand in line that way. But Maddie's going first, and your mama's going to help you. Come on, come over here in the camera so everybody can see you, so you can go nationwide.
Maddie is super, super nervous and stepping on my shoes.
You want to ask her? What? You guys do it. She'll be more
comfortable. Okay, Maddie. Why do you want to be baptized?
Spend eternal life with Jesus in heaven.
There you go. That's all. That's all you have to do.
We tell her, keep it easy. She had some other good stuff. She actually said, because she acknowledges that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, and she wants to show people how real Jesus is. So she had some good ones. I was like, that's perfect. That's what it's about. You're going to show the world. So I'm very excited about that. All right, Dory, you're up.
In 2021, I fell away from the Lord and my dad passed away. I was in a very dark place. Went out in sin. And over the past 7 months, I have found my way back to the Lord. I want to be baptized because I want to go and be with Him in heaven. But I also want to go out and share the word with others. And I just want to say thank you to you guys, because today I felt my dad here with me.
What do I follow that? Okay. Honestly, I just wanted to be re-baptized, because the last time I did was, I think it was the day or somewhat a day or two after my mom died. So I just wanted to, I guess, I feel like I felt led to actually be baptized again. That's basically, like a rededication, basically.
Three minutes. Oh my gosh. 1 minute. Okay, so I wanted to tell you that before I knew Jesus in the second grade, I was Catholic. And I went to Mass with my grandma, and I can honestly tell you Jesus Christ came at that point in my life. Not that he's always there, but I didn't know who he was, but he was the one that actually took me out of the Catholic Church, because I went to confessional. The Monsignor was there. I told the Monsignor, I haven't been going to church on Sunday at a second grader. And all he did was yell at me in the confessional during Mass, threaten me, tell me I won't be able to go to school in the Los Angeles area anywhere, and sent me out to do my penance, crying my eyes out. Jesus and God are not a God of anger, and they're not a God of threatening either. So I had to finish that Catholic stuff. By the time I was in the ninth grade, I hadn't been going to Catholic church or any church. I met my swim team teacher, and she invited me to her church, which was a Baptist church. And that's where I learned who Jesus actually really was. And I accepted him as my Lord and Savior at 14 years old. At that time, everybody in the church, at my church, was getting baptized. I did it. I got baptized. Everyone was doing it. I'm supposed to do that. That's what you're supposed to do. No. Throughout my life, I have learned a lot more with my relationship with Christ. And I want to get rebaptized because I understand fully now what the symbolization means. So, yes, I'm again with Bryson, rededicating my life to Christ. And, yeah, so that's where I'm at.
So before this is really loud. before I found God, I was raised in a Christian household my whole life, so I always had like an understanding, but I never knew fully what I was going to do and like how I was going to go along with it. And growing up, I let people depict who I was and what I believed in a little too much. And so I didn't know. I was really lost. I couldn't find myself. And I got to a point where I was really lost, a really low point. And God came to me. I didn't expect it because last time something like that had happened, I was like, I didn't even know what to do with myself. But I think God was like, that now's my chance, you know? And so he helped me with what I was going through and showed me what I needed. And so I'm getting baptized next week so I can fully commit and give my life to him.
Amen. Well, let's pray for our baptisms. We are going to pray next week, obviously, at the beach. But if you guys can just join in, and this is going to be a momentous time, right? The Bible says that when one believer turns to Christ, that the heavens erupt, and they've already made a decision for Christ. This is the public declaration to show that they are committed to Christ. Amen? And you saw the age groups. It goes from beginner level to well-seasoned. It doesn't matter what age we are. God's always working on us and in us and showing us, revealing himself. Sometimes it takes a little longer to get through our thick brains, but he does. His word doesn't come back void. So it's just an awesome time for us to dedicate and just for the Lord to do what he does. When we step out of the way and let him do it. Amen? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just we uplift each and every single one that is making a public decision, a declaration to follow you, Lord. And to be bold and stand up here and just give a brief testimony of what you've done in their lives. And we know there's so much more detail because you don't work in just the general. You're working in the detail. And we thank you for the continual work that you do in us, that we are never quite there until we're going to be with you in glory. But as we are here, Lord, you continue to do what you do and mold us and shape us as the potter's hands. Lord, we praise you for this day, that the decisions that are being made to commit to you fully and to just go all the way in and allow your Holy Spirit to do his work, that we can just praise you for those decisions, that we acknowledge that it is your work and nothing that we can do. It's all that you have done. It's the victory that we step in and walk through, Lord. It's the footprints and it's your light. Lord, we praise you for this day. We praise you for what's going to take place next Saturday. We pray that it's a beautiful, just a showing of support. And as a fellowship, Lord, as we gather together and we get to witness and be a part of this time, that it's just blessed by you in your hands, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. I'm excited. So with that, Maddie, you're awesome. Thank you for being bold. I know that was hard. Come on up. We don't shut the mic off. That one right there. That one.
Yes, I'm real tired and stuff, but I need to give my life more to God and be baptized. And I'm not a speaker, so... Yeah, I was. All right, thank you.
Man, right, that's eight. See, I like that. I'm not a speaker. That's what Moses said. And Moses was used to free God's people. You know, a lot of times we get discouraged by numbers and what's going on around us, but God used 12. That's it. Use 12 people to change the world, to start something that he had ordained and commissioned, and we are a product of those 12. We are a product of the one that has the victory on the cross. Amen? We don't even need to look to the cross and cry over the cross. We get to celebrate and say, he ain't even up there. Amen? So, blessed. We're going to do this. This is good. I got goosebumps. God works. It's been, yesterday we got to do the revival with Robert Grand up in Summit Valley Christian up in Big Bear. And it was just, for those of us that were there, it was just a powerful time. You know, who was there was meant to be there. God has a message right now. And the way he orchestrated the day and the messages between us three pastors, and it's only, God could only do that. So it's exciting when you know you're on the right path, because God shows up in a big way and we get to just celebrate everything about him. We had a Spanish speaker, and it's kind of cool when you have a Spanish speaker, you're waiting for an interpreter, but there's a time and moment in there where you're almost understanding what the Spanish speaker is saying. Yeah, and those of you that don't know, I don't know that much Spanish. But that's how the Spirit's speaking. So you know what's happening. You know what the Spirit is speaking to the Spirit, and that's how God works. So I just encourage you guys, when we have those events, be there. God shows up. We stay humble and obedient to what he's calling us to do. He shows up. So with that, you guys get up, hug somebody. You got a minute, and we're going to get right into the message and be convicted. I mean, be encouraged.
Starts racing and I can't slow it down. Hands shaking and I'm losing my breath. Paralyzed with the mind spinning out. My strength has grown weak. No words left to speak. I fall to my knees. Cause I know what I need. You are the light when my world goes dark. You hold me together when I'm torn apart. Silence above all the noise. Burdens light when you're lifting it up. Fears terrified by the sound of your voice. Cause you don't grow weak. Your word is peace. I fall to my knees. Cause I know what I need. You are the light when my world goes dark. You hold me together when I'm torn apart. I'm way too far. Hear the calm for my anxious heart. Hear the calm for my anxious heart. Run way too far. You're the calm for my anxious heart. You are the light when my breath is gone. You are the hope when I'm stuck in the storm. I know this is still who you are. You're the calm for my anxious heart.
Having friends over in across the country. I have a friend in Florida, and he hit me up right now. He said, "Rib Sunday, boys." And he sent me a picture of his ribs he's about to eat. And I sent a selfie. He said, "I'm about to preach, man." All right. Well, we are starting a new mini, I guess you call it mini series. We're going to be in the book of Habakkuk. See, I learned, actually, what's funny is I learned the proper way to say it, because I can't say, I always say Habakkuk. It's not Habakkuk, so I'm going to say Habakkuk. And, you know, every time I start this, you know, kind of praying on, okay, Lord, where are we going? We just wrapped up the book of James, which was a very powerful book for us. We were in there for about 3 months. And it should have been only really a five-week message if you went by chapter. But the Lord's really speaking to the church right now. And I know this because when I talk to other pastors, they're in the same wavelength that God has, the same spirit length, I should call it, right? The Spirit is speaking to the church and encouraging us because obviously what we are seeing is not normal, right? What we are seeing is really testing us mentally. Because, I mean, at least you guys are here. You know, I said this yesterday. It was kind of funny. But at least you're here today and not preparing for the alien invasion, right? Because this last week, you know, it's confirmed that there's aliens and UFOs and all this stuff. And we know as believers, I mean, that's what they're saying. That's what they're out saying it now, right? But as believers, we know that ain't the case. We know that what the world's going to call it is what the world wants to label it. But we know where they come from. And we know the spiritual realm that we are in daily. We know that there's a spiritual realm that we can't see. And sometimes we get a glimpse of. Amen? But, you know, even with that, we obviously have turmoil in our leadership in our country. And this is not just our country. This is around the world. I mean, there's literal criminals running our countries, you know. And let's call it what it is. You can't deny what we're seeing. And they're being very public about it now. Why? Because they don't care. You know, and this is not a political speech. This is just the reality of the world that the Christian is living in. The church is living in. This is what we are battling with. And still, we're the crazy ones. How is that possible? How are we the crazy ones when we said, hey, just so you guys know, the Bible says that when this stuff starts to happen, that we need to look up because the redemption is near. Oh, you're crazy. And then the stuff starts happening. We start saying, see, it's happening. All you guys are crazy. It's because we believe in a God the Father. We believe in a Messiah that saved us. And we believe in a Holy Spirit that guides us. So if that makes me crazy, then call me crazy. Around the world, there's other countries and there's other places where our Christian brothers and sisters have already been stamped and labeled crazy and they're penalized for it. Right? So they define us real, the Christian in the world. And what we have to do is when we come in, and Robert actually said yesterday, and that's why I love how the Holy Spirit works. He said, if we continue to look through the world, through the world view, then we're gonna lose our mind. But if we are staying with the Christian worldview and we understand that God is already doing something, he's been doing something, he's already told us that he's doing something, then we have to have faith in that. But there's still the why. We still go to God and say, Lord, there's so much going on. Can't you just fix it? Can't you just end it? Why do we have to see this stuff? There's a burden that the Christian, the true believer, and I'm going to say true believer, because there's a lot of Christians out there. They're just conforming. And I like that song. I'm not going to conform to the world. I don't want to conform to the world. But when you choose God first, in that Christian worldview, and you're staying to the Word, there's a burden that we carry. We talked about it on Wednesday night. Nate made a great comment, and we got into the subject of wisdom. And the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord, the Bible says. And wisdom sometimes is burdensome, because we see things as they are, because the Lord has revealed them to us. Now understand this. He hasn't revealed the entirety of his plan. You know why? Because that will blow our mind up. Me and my little 10% that I use. And sometimes I flood it out and I start tanking out. Imagine if God was like, you know, I'll let you use 11%. We'd lose our mind. So he gives us just enough that we need to know to understand that he is working. And there's this minor prophet that we're about to jump into. He's the 8th of 12. In the Old Testament, and he answers that, he doesn't answer that question. God gives him a little nugget of information, but he's asking the question that so many Christians and non-believers ask. A non-believer asks it in this way. If there's a God, then why is there bad stuff? Why do bad things happen? And a Christian says, all right, Lord, there's bad things happening. Why haven't you acted yet? So we're going to get that question. And if this, hopefully this helps you out. Because when a non-believer asks that, well, if there's a God, then why does the child have grow up with AIDS in Africa? Or why is there so much sex trafficking in our country? If God's real, why does he allow that to happen? And that's a tough question. Because it's the same question we ask. Lord, can you just judge them right now, please? So Habakkuk's going to have this conversation. It's a question and answer. God actually responds to the minor prophet. He's actually going to give him the plan. And that's where the knowledge becomes burdensome in a way. Because he's going to know just a little bit of a plan of what God's about to do to his people. Now, mind you, to his people. And I'm going to explain why. So before we get into the word, let's pray then. Lord, I pray that you just guide us today in this word. I thank you for the word that you prepared. I pray that it just touches our hearts and it gives us an answer that is satisfying and edifying to our spirit, Lord. That we just continue to look to you in faithfulness and in humbleness. And we can trust that you have a sovereign plan over all things. As we walk through this tough world right now, as firm believers, not wavering, not conforming, but standing strong in your word and your truth. Pray it could just encourage us and that it could prepare us for whatever may come next. We thank you, we praise you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So this is how it starts. And to understand that this prophet, this part was, he lived probably around 610 B.C. Or if you want to go to education in this world, it's B.C.E. before Common Era. I'll call it before Christ. But it was around the time. He lived probably during King Josiah, and there was a lot of turmoil going on in God's people because they started to conform to the patterns of the world in that time, right? There was a lot of gods that they were probably influenced with, and there was a lot of evil, a lot of things that God's people were doing. This is the Israelites. So there's a nation that's starting to ramp up and destroy the Assyrian rule. And you'll know him as Babylon. You're going to see him in here as the Chaldeans. And who was the king of Babylon at the time? Nebuchadnezzar. I got Bible scholars in here. Nebuchadnezzar. And later on we get into the book of Daniel and we could dig in deeper. But what's going to happen is we understand when the Babylonians start taking over, they destroy Judah. How many times? Several times. Right? Well, here's a prophet that is going to gain the knowledge because he's seeing the evil. He's seeing the injustice going on. He's seeing how God's people aren't living right. And he's going to go to God, and this is what he asks. We'll let the word speak. It says, the prophecy of Habakkuk, the prophet received. And this is his question to God. And you could put your name on this because you know you've asked God this. But he says it great. He says, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Don't be convicted. Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed. And justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Powerful words from the prophet. And the blessing is this. He is going to God. And he is petitioning the Lord, Yahweh, the Creator. And he's saying this. Lord, how long do I have to see the evil in your people, in this place, in the world, in my life? Lord, how long do I have to see people doing wrong to each other? That's injustice. How long do I have to see the violence? How long do I have to see the evil prevail in this world? chapter 1, verse 2 through the report. So, put yourself in that place. Have we ever had that prayer, personally? I think we all have. When we're asking God, Lord, can you just do something? And we're waiting to hear it. And I like what he says, how long must I call for help? But you don't listen. When we're in that place, in that situation, yesterday I actually talked about the Jesus calming the storm, and it's a message that the Lord gave me when we did the tent revival. And I love it because how long sometimes when we're in that storm, are we looking to God and saying, how long is this going to happen before you move? But see, God's ways aren't our ways, he says. He has a plan. He has a will, and we have to trust that plan. But this is what he does for the prophet. And he answers in verse 5. He says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days. That's a promise. God is promising, hey, you're going to be amazed by what happens. In your eyes, it might not look good, but you don't know everything that I'm doing. Just know I'm doing something, because God is moving. When we get these reports in this world of all the craziness, every week something new is happening. If we're looking at the news and saying, oh man, what are we going to do? Then we're not looking at God. But if we're looking at God and we say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, what you're allowing right now, but I know you're doing something. And I know your word is true. And I know you are faithful. But God's responding to the prophet. See, if this is any indication that he gives us an opportunity to lament, it's okay to lament before the Lord. It's okay to go to the Lord. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Pour out your heart, because it leads to your praying to the Lord. You're talking and spending time with the Lord. But he goes on and he says, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe. See, this shows me something in God's character. Even if I showed you my plan, you would not be able to comprehend my plan. You know how I know that? Because about 20 years ago when I would study prophetic word and say, man, that's going to be a crazy world. How would we ever lead to a one world government? Who would ever choose to take a mark of the beast? How would they do that? There's not even technology. And I wake up in the morning right now in 2023 and I go, wow. But back then, if God said, hey, you know what? There's going to be AI. And they're going to be able to come up with every idea that you need. And the Lord says, and on top of that, they're going to make a chip. And they'll be able to put it in your body. And you'll be able to scan your hand and you're going to be able to buy food. I would sit 20 years ago and be like, there's no way. Because you can't comprehend what God is allowing to happen that's going to move us closer to meeting him and ushering the bridegroom into this world. We can't comprehend it. And that's what he's telling Habakkuk. He's like, you can't, even if I told you, you wouldn't even understand. But just be amazed when it happens. Just know that it's my hand at work. And it says right there that you would not believe even if you were told. Verse 6 says, I am raising up the Babylonians. In some translations, it will say the Chaldeans or the Chaldeans. That ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves. In other words, they make their own rules. I'm glad we don't have a world that makes their own rules right now. They are fear. Oh, I'm sorry. And promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour. They all come intent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They mock kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities by building earthen ramps, they capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty people whose own strength is their God. What does that mean? Well, we see their tactics here. We see the tactics of a very strong empire that's rising. They conquer and don't look back. There's no fortified city that can withstand because they'll just build a ramp and jump on in and do what they got to do. But there's a key here. It says in verse 11, they sweep past like the winds and go on. Guilty people whose own strength is their God. That's a little g. That's not the God. Who is their God of the world? Is how we answer that. Who is their idol of the world? Is how we answer that. So God gives just a little nugget of how he's going to raise up this empire called the Babylonians, and they're about to sweep across and destroy everything and take power and control. Now, you need to go share that with the people. So, let's bring it down to where God's got us here in 2023. I have given you scripture. I have given you prophetic word. You have my word in entirety. Now give it to the people. There's a burden there, isn't there? There's a burden of knowledge that God has given us. And you know, this is a funny thing. We're not a little club that says, oh, I have the knowledge, give me a secret handshake, and then maybe I'll share with you. And when you get to a certain degree, then I'll share more with you. And by the time you realize what you're in, it's going to be an uh-oh moment. God has actually commissioned us to share his word in entirety without removing or adding anything to it. And that means the truth. That means when he says, hey, when you start seeing nations rise against nations, be ready and let people know that there's something coming. When you start seeing governments align into the old Roman Empire, go share that because something's coming. See, there's a burden behind it because if I went out and started telling my friends, which I did 20 years ago, hey, and eventually, there's going to be a time when Jesus is going to prepare to come back, and you're going to see a one-world government, guys. There's going to be a one-world religion, and people are going to take something that's called a mark, and that's the way they're going to buy and purchase stuff. And you know what they said to me? Mike, you are crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist. But I'll tell you what, in 2020 and 2020 through 2023, when my friends are calling and say, Mike, all the stuff you told us was happening. How did you know that? Because my word said so. But there's a burden behind it. There's a heavy heart behind it. Because we know that people aren't seeing what is happening. And they're going to continue on the path of destruction that the Lord has allowed them to walk in. Remember how he hardened the heart of the Pharaoh. Hardening the heart doesn't mean that he made them evil. It was the evil that had overcome them. And he said, if that's the path you want to go, that's where you're going to go. But it's for my great purpose at the end. Because I'm going to have to show up. That's where Habakkuk is now. He's got to go tell God's people, hey, you guys are evil. You're doing things wrong. And because of that, there's an empire that's about to destroy us. And there's nothing you can do about it because God's going to do it. It's like going to an unbeliever and saying, God is real. You're in a path of destruction. And when he comes, there's going to be no more opportunities. He's given the warnings. He's showing us the warnings. Believe in him. So after receiving this news, the prophet now probably scratching his head and saying, so this is actually going to happen? He says this, Lord, are you not from everlasting? And I like how he acknowledges everything that the Lord is. The Lord is everlasting. But he's saying, Lord, aren't you everlasting? There's another prayer at a conversation I'll mention in a bit. His name is Job. Has this conversation with God. And he says, my God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, my ordained, have ordained them to punish. In other words, Lord, you're going to use them against us, against your people. In verse 13, it says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil, cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Lord, why do you allow all this crazy stuff to happen against God's people? Why are there martyrs across the world? Why do you allow them to crucify Christians? There's no way you could do that. Lord, you're too good. He says, why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? This is honest questioning of the Lord sometimes. This is honest. This is going to God and be like, why, God? I don't get it. Why don't people come to church? It's fun to go to a big church. I know. Why aren't people in their word? It makes no sense. Lord, help. Verse 14. You have made people like the fish in the sea, like the sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in the dragnet, and so he rejoices and is glad. That's the conqueror. For by his net he lives in luxury, enjoys the choicest foods. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? Why do we see corrupt governments leading people down the path of destruction? And what does it say back there in chapter 1? Making their own laws? We live in a state that does that. We live in a country that's fighting to make their own laws. To make what's wrong is right. What's right is wrong. And again, this is not political. This is not a political statement. This is what's happened in God's people, around God's people, since the Old Testament. And God answers again. In chapter 2, verse 1, this is still the prophet. He says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am going to give to this complaint. In other words, Lord, I'm going to stand right here until you answer. I need to hear you. I need you. He just poured his heart out to God. And you hear all the words. And you hear everything that God told me. There's going to be a nation that's about to overtake you guys. You're going to be destroyed. This is who they are. They're the worst of the worst. And I'm going to use them to pass judgment on my people. And he says, you know, I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to wait. I'm going to be silent. I'm going to just wait. We don't wait enough sometimes. Sometimes we don't know when to be quiet. And the Lord answers because he's good. And he says this in chapter 2, verse 2. There's something important here. When we get there, I'll let you know. It says, then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. In other words, write it down, and the plain on tablets is almost like a scroll. Write it down, and they're going to be able to go, and he's going to give it to people, and they're going to go share this news. Telegram, telegram. And he says, verse 3, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. There's going to be a time. This is the destruction. It's going to happen. Jesus said, there's going to be a time. Look up. I'm coming back. It's going to happen. Though it linger, wait for it. Wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. It's all on God's timing. And here is the encouragement. This one verse is the encouragement that God throws in there for the prophet and for us. Verse 4. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. And I can see the prophet, well, obviously. Go on. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. God acknowledges the enemy. God acknowledges the evil in the world. God has told us there will be trials and tribulations. God has told us you're going to see a massive shift. Before, we could walk around as Christians and people were like, oh, that's a Christian. They're cool. Now we walk around as Christians and what do they call us? You hate. You're a bigot. You got to love everybody because God loves everybody. Don't tell me about your God. My God loves you so much. He don't want you to go to hell. That's what true love is. True love is discipline. True love is sharing the law and understanding that the law is keeping us from a place that he didn't create for us. True love is dying on the cross and saying, even as you are an enemy, I died and prepared a way for you. If you put your trust and faith in me and you acknowledge me before all people, that's love. But when you start denying me and creating your own little tiny image of what Jesus looks like and not my Jesus, and you want me to say, oh, that's the God that loves you because he allows you to live in sin? God acknowledges sin because he died for it. And the Bible says there's no more sacrifice. It's happened. The day of atonement happened. Jesus Christ died. It was finished. It was on the cross. He rose again to defeat death. That is it. If you don't get that, there's only one other place you're going to go. And God is giving this. He said, there will be judgment. Right here he's saying, speaking about the judgment over God's people in that time. You know why? That's how he had to judge them in that time. Because there was no atonement yet. So if that was the judgment in that time, which meant their livelihood was going to be disrupted, they were going to be back in exile. So what does judgment look like now? That's why we pray that every day we get to go profess the good word of God. The good news. Because we know what that judgment looks like now. We know that the next judgment, there ain't no turning back. There's not going to be a rebuilding period. It's going to be done. In verse 4, God acknowledges the evil. And he knows that it's overtaking the world. But he also acknowledges this and gives us encouragement and strength. But my people, the righteous people, and we're righteous by the blood of Jesus. Amen? We will live by his faithfulness. We are going to live by faithfulness. Faithfulness to who? The true and the one and only God. And let's specify that. It's Yahweh. There ain't no other way. Verse 5 says, indeed, wine betrays him. He is arrogant and never at rest. Because he is as greedy as the grave, and like death is never satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations, and takes captive all the peoples. Will not all of them taunt him when he ridicule and scorn, saying, woe to him who piles up stolen goods and makes himself wealthy by extortion. That's called corruption, church. How long must this go on? And this is God giving an answer to Habakkuk. God's acknowledging exactly what the government is doing in this time. He says, will not your creditors suddenly arise? Will they not wake up and make you tremble? Then you will become their prey, because you have plundered many nations. The people who are left with plunder will plunder you. For you have shed human blood, you have destroyed lands and cities and everyone in them. Now this is the transgressions of his own people. They're going to do this to you because you didn't honor me in what I blessed you with. So this is what's going to happen. It's going to happen to you now. Now don't be scared. then we're in a new covenant. This is how God had to discipline his people to bring them back before Christ. It says in verse 9, woe to him who builds his house by unjust gain, setting his nest on high to escape the clutches of ruin. You have plotted the ruin of many people, shaming your own house and forfeiting your life. The stones of the wall will cry out, and the beams of the woodwork will echo it. Which means there's going to be destruction. It's going to be rubble. And if you know anything getting into the book of Daniel, you know that Judah was turned to rubble. It says in verse 12, woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by injustice. Has not the Lord Almighty determined that the people's labor is only fuel for the fire, that the nations exhaust themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. There's that knowledge word again. They're going to see God. You're going to see God. There's going to be knowledge whether you like it or not. Because when the Lion of Judah breaks through them clouds, you're going to know there's a Lion of Judah. And when every word of the prophetic word comes to light and it shows the Lion of Judah coming on that horse, his robe dipped in blood, a name that nobody can speak, you're going to know that's Jesus. It says in verse 15, woe to him who gives drink to his neighbors, pouring it from them from the wineskins till they are drunk, so that he can gaze on their naked bodies. You can kind of see the sins here, right? You kind of hear them? Drunkenness, self-pleasure, greed, debauchery. Verse 16 says, you will be filled with shame instead of glory. Now it is your turn. Drink and let your nakedness be exposed. The cup from the Lord's right hand is coming around you, and disgrace will cover your glory. The violence you have done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and your destruction of animals will terrify you. For you have shed human blood, you have destroyed lands and cities, and everyone in them. Of what value is an idol carved by or an image that teaches lies? For the one who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to lifeless stones, wake up. Can it give guidance? It is covered with gold and silver. There is no breath in it. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. God gives them the plan. God shows them what's coming. And then God shows them their transgressions. See, a lot of times when we're praying to the Lord in our own right, and we're looking for answers, God will reveal some of his plan to you. God is going to show you where you need correction. And God's determined to show you his glory in each and every circumstance. And just like Jess says, when we pray, we have to be ready to receive the answer. Now, I don't know Habakkuk, and we don't have much on who he was and what he did. But on that first complaint that he took to the Lord, I can pretty closely guarantee you he wasn't ready for the answer. Because the Lord's answer was, there's going to be judgment on my people. And it's going to be bad. Know that there's a time and a place, and it's in my will. I'm going to do it. It's going to happen. But we have to wait. Know that what's about to happen is going to be pretty terrifying. I'm going to expose all the sin. I'm going to shed light on each and every sin. And each and every one of those sins is going to be answered to. There will be judgment. But my righteous will walk in faith and knowing that I'm doing a good thing. That I'm doing a great thing. In church, we are waiting for that great thing. And each and every week, as things start piling up and we look to the Lord, he's answering. Just look at how he's answering. There's pastors speaking heresies and their church is burning down. There's answers. It's how God works. There's pastors on the pulpit speaking heresies and lightning hits the building at that exact time. God's answering. But it's a warning. He's coming. We don't know when, but he's warning the church. People, you guys are just a little bit off track. Governments, have your way, governments. Because in the book of Daniel, it says that rock is coming down and it's going to take down the whole statue. And it's going to be the only rock that lasts, and that's the kingdom of God. So have fun while you're having fun. But he's going to keep giving warnings. And you know who he's using right now to profess the good news and give that warning? He's using the church that is being obedient and walking in faith. He's using the humble believer that knows that you cannot veer from this word. Not one word different, not one word added. He is calling us to be a people, a remnant of people. He is rising up a church. And you might be saying, yeah, but why is it so small then? Because guess what? As I said at the beginning, he used 12. It's not about the number. It's about the faith. It's about the steadfastness. It's about the petition. It's about the love for others that God has put in our heart, not to want them to go to hell, but to say, hey, there is a hell. There is a repentance that needs to happen. There is a walking away from your old self that needs to happen to acknowledge Jesus Christ. The one and true Jesus Christ. Not the one that you're fabricating in your little head. Not the one that's being preached at some of these pulpits of, hey, just choose yourself, be yourself. Jesus is love. He is love. But if God's wrath was poured out on his son, what is it going to look like when it's on sinful people? What did it look like for God's people in the Old Testament? They were living cush lives in the place that was there for them. That God gave them coming out of Egypt. The land flowing with milk and honey. The place that he promised them, the promised land. And they started to live their own life. And he said, you know what? This is the only way I could discipline right now because Jesus hasn't come yet. And that is taking you away from what you have been blessed with. But not just like, hey, you're going to move now. It's destroying the place where you have to go. It's bringing discomfort. Now imagine this. The prophet is about to live through this discomfort. He's a righteous one. He's faithful. God's speaking to him. Which means what, church? That means that, hey, body of Christ, we're going to get uncomfortable just a bit. But if we have true faith in knowing that my God is our protector and provider, and that he's going to be with us through the storm, then we know whatever should happen, glory be to God, because we're one step closer to seeing him come back. And if it's in my lifetime or not, I'm going home. I'm not going to be here forever. If it's another 100 years, you know what? In my whatever years God gives me, I pray that I was given the message that he intended for the people in 2023, that they know that they got to stay strong and know that God is doing something big, doing something outside of ourselves, because he's doing it in his good will. For he knows the plans he has for us, church. That's a promise. It's his plan for us, the church. And in that plan, sometimes it's a little bit uncomfortable. Because as it gets harder, as financially it gets harder, when we look at the news and we see this corrupt government getting more corrupter, I know that's not a word. As Christians, we get to stand back and be like, oh, Lord, I'm praying for my president. Because if he doesn't change his ways, he's going to know the full wrath of God. I pray for the people that have brought us to this place. Because they're going to understand what the wrath of God feels like if they don't turn to Christ Jesus. And believe me, you think I want to pray for these people? If it was Mike, I want to slam the thing down and say, judged. Go to jail. In the book of James, he said there's only one judge. So I'll let him do that part because I'd be terrible. Everybody be in jail. There'll probably be times when I slam it. Hey, Mike, you go to jail. You're on timeout. You know what you just did, Mike? And that's the burden the prophet has now. He has this wisdom and this knowledge that is given by God. And guess what? If you're walking with the Holy Spirit, you're walking with that knowledge. There are things being revealed to you in this time. And you're looking around and saying, all right, which way do I turn where there's not darkness? Which way do I turn where you don't see division and deceit? And God's saying, righteous one, be patient. Walk faithfully. Know that I'm doing something big. And walk in that light and say, man, you guys have no clue. God's doing something big. And we get to shout it. We're talking about the lighthouse. The lighthouse shows people, hey, there's a cliff. Don't hit the cliff. That's destruction. Watch out for the toil of the enemy. That's what we are commissioned to do. God is so good that he uses us. That when he died for us, he didn't just die. He said, now you're going to go do. But just know that some of the things that I'm going to show you or reveal to you are going to be heavy. And if I give them to you, you have to share them. Write it down. Telegram. I don't know if God's coming, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of stuff happening. Can't deny it, can you? You can't deny it. You know he's coming. I don't know when. But what I do want to show you is this. How did the Bible show us this stuff so long ago? And now we can sit back and be like, I can see how that can happen now. That makes sense. So now that we know that, and we understand that God is coming, then we need to show people the love of Christ, the true love of Christ. And that is, if you continue on this path of destruction, the judgment is going to come. It will come. And my prayer is that you do not stand before the throne of judgment without that white robe on. Of God's righteous. That when I'm standing there, or passed out, and when I come to senses after I see my Jesus, that I can look to you and be like, dude, we get this go. Here we go. Get to the front of the line. There's your fast pass. And we get to go in there, and then probably when I get into the gates, I'm going to pass out again, but just help me out. To be in his glory. You want to know what true love is? It's to teach you, to show you his glory is so good. There's nothing on this earth that can compare to the presence of God. Nothing. And all my desire is that I speak to people and show them the love of God, that they can experience just the glimpse of his presence so they can be hungry for the entirety of his glory in eternity. That's what these messages are about. And when we get into chapter 3, that's going to show us the position that we take after we have this heavy knowledge. when we come and gather together and prepare for the week ahead of us. Because we know when we walk out of this place, the world is the world. We have shelter here. We're in the shelter. But when we walk out that door, the world's still doing this crazy world stuff. There's still aliens somewhere. There's still things that the government's obviously not telling us the truth about. The world's still the world. We prepare in here to go out and be a living testimony to the world. That's chapter 3. We'll get there next week. Let's pray it out. Lord, I thank you for this message that you've given us today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit just leading the conversation and for encouraging us and showing us what your judgment looks like. But not in entirety, Lord. We acknowledge that what's coming next is nothing that we can fathom. It's nothing that we can even wrap our minds around. But you've given us just enough to be encouraged to go out and love on people so much that we do not desire for them to be in that place, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit walk with us, give us the words of wisdom, give us the fortitude, and bring us peace as we do live in this world of trials and tribulation and the struggle and the truth of what this world looks like right now. Pray that we can bring the light in every place that we go, our workplace, our homes, out in the stores. That we love people so much, Lord, that we cannot put your word down. That we continue to just learn and read and teach. As your great commission has shown us to go out and baptize, but not just that, Lord, to teach what the words of Jesus have given to us. The promise of salvation. Coming to repentance. Lord, if there's anything in our lives today that we need forgiveness on, we just pray that you just chisel those things out and we ask for forgiveness. We repent before you today because we know you're continuing to do a work in us. But as you work in us, we praise you for allowing us to be the voice in the heirs to the kingdom, in the ambassadors, where wherever we go, we are representing your kingdom's glory. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time and this fellowship. And we just pray for a blessing as we go out from this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.